Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
For surely, the word of the Lord comes to the lonely. The word of the Lord comes to the overwhelmed. The Holy Spirit would say to those that feel in over their head, overwhelmed, overcome by the challenge. The word of the Lord would be to you, I have not turned my back on you. I am with you, and I am lifting you up out of a pit today. The Lord would say, you have touched me with your worship. Your faith and your cry and your honesty before me has touched me, and I'm coming for you. The Lord says, I'm lifting you up to bring healing, to bring grace, to fulfill promises that I've made to you. For the Lord would say, think it not strange concerning trials, for there are those times when I place you into things that are too big for you. And you say, Lord, if you loved me, I would not be in over my head. If you loved me, I would not be drowning. But the Lord would say, I have never turned my back on you. And I have placed you in that place so that you will cry out to me and see the miraculous and the impossible. You will see my faithfulness in the end, says the Lord. And you will see my provision and you will see my help. And even the emotional turmoil and the pressure emotionally, even when your mind says, I know I can trust God, I know I can count on him, but your heart is swept away with fear. The Lord says, I'm going to deliver you from all of this, and you're going to see my faithful hand upon you. The word of the Lord comes to the lonely. The word of the Lord comes to those who are overwhelmed, who are brokenhearted, and who are in over their head. I am with you, and I will not forsake you. I am your deliverer and your help this day, says the Lord your God. Hallelujah. How many of you received that? Oh, thank you, Lord. You know what? I want us to just pray. If that's you, I just want you to lift your hands up to God, just like your father's going to pick you up, because that's what I see him doing. I just see him picking you up and carrying you. Now, Lord, what can we say? We yield our hearts completely to you. In the midst of every trial, we account you as faithful. You're our healer. We pray for healing. We pray for your financial miracles, Lord. We pray for your provision, Lord. We pray, Lord, against the negative emotions of discouragement, depression, anxiousness, sleeplessness. Lord, lift us out of that today. We receive this, Lord, and we thank you that you are our present help in a time of need, and we claim that, Lord, through Christ, and we say amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated, everybody. Lord bless you. Thank you, worship team. Amazing stuff today.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
We've had a great, great weekend. We had just a beautiful picnic yesterday. Pastor Chip was telling you about that, And I must have met, I don't know, 50 people that I've never met before. It was just loaded with brand new people, and it was an awesome time. And, you know, this is Friends and Family Weekend. And so if you're new in the church, you should feel right at home. And we're glad that you're here. And in honor of this Friends and Family theme that we're on today, I'd like to speak for a few minutes on the subject of friendships. My message is entitled, A Friend to Your Future. That's what I'm going to be talking about today, A Friend to Your Future. You say, well, what is a friend to your future? I think of the great quote by Henry Ford, the famous car manufacturer. He said, my best friend is someone who brings out the best in me. I like that. My best friend is someone who brings out the best in me. A lot of our friends that we've had in our life, I'm sure you've experienced it like I have. Some friends will help you mess up. Some friends will help you get far from God, far from success. Some friends will just assist you all the way until you're broke and sick and you've lost everything. That's not really the kind of friend that we need. What we need is a friend to our future. Amen. What we need is a friend to the good thing that God has planned for us, the bright future that God wants to bring us into. And so I want to talk to us from the words of Solomon, who wrote 3,000 years ago these famous words. This is the New Living Translation of a very famous passage of Scripture, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will use it to speak encouragement to you today. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12. It says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other to what?
Succeed.
How many of you want to succeed? Wow, that's an important word. Two people will help each other succeed. If one person falls, then the other can reach out and help. But if someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. But two can stand back to back, and they can do what? They can conquer. In other words, you can win. You can succeed if you have the right people around you. Friendship. Friendship is so important. And my message today is simple, but I hope it'll help you and I hope it'll encourage you. And I think if I was to put it into one sentence, it would go something like this. A true friend helps us experience true success. A true friend to our future is somebody who will help us win, somebody who will help us conquer, someone who will help us succeed, not someone who will help us fail. Now, just a few weeks ago, Kathy and I were looking at television. We had a chance to watch this great movie. I would recommend it. It's 42. It's the story of... Pastor Mike, calm down now. Some team in Los Angeles, I forget what. But the Brooklyn Dodgers, which was a long time ago when we liked them. Jackie Robinson was really, this movie 42 is about Jackie Robinson and his career. He was the first African-American, I'm sure you know, that was able to play in the American Major League Baseball leagues. He broke baseball's famous color barrier. And of course, as the first person in that role, being a person of color, he faced a lot of pressure and a lot of resistance from people, a lot of snide people and nasty people and jeering crowds. Even sometimes in his own Brooklyn home stadium, he got booed and people were throwing stuff at him. And this one particular scene in the movie, and it's a true scene, it actually happened to him. He was playing at home in Brooklyn and he made an error. And right away, his own team and everybody that was there just started booing at him and throwing trash at him onto the field. And, you know, this poor guy, he's had so much trouble just establishing credibility, being accepted. And now on his own home turf, his own fans are mocking and jeering him. And he's standing there at second base and he's, you know, just humiliated. He's as low as you can be. And the shortstop, this is shown in the movie too, Pee Wee Reese came over and just stood next to him and put his arm around him. He put his arm around Robinson and just looked at the crowd, and something amazing happened in that stadium. Everybody got quiet as they just saw the power of friendship. They saw the power of a true friend standing up for him. And Robinson actually wrote about this and described it later. He said, I would have been done with baseball had it not been for that friend who had come along and put his arm around him, Pee Wee Reese. That's a friend to our future. A lot of people are willing to tear each other down, but who's going to stand up for one another and be a friend to our future? Jackie Robinson succeeded. He won because he had a friend to his future. And I want to just expand on this a little bit and share with you three ways that friends help us succeed. And I want to use Solomon's words as the basis of this talk. Three ways a true friend helps us succeed. Number one, friends lift us when we're down. Now, I pray that you'll never be down, but if you're like me, you've been down and you might be down again. And that's a time where you need a true friend. This is what Solomon was talking about. He said, if a person falls, then the other person can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in trouble. You might have a lot of people in your life that you know, people that you could call maybe acquaintances, people that you know at school or work or even relatives, but you may probably only have a few people in your life that you could actually truthfully say are a true friend. What's a true friend? What's the difference between a true friend, for example, and an acquaintance, just somebody that you know? Well, when you fall, that's when you'll find out the difference. When you have a health problem, when you get into financial trouble, when something breaks in your life, when a relationship breaks or something goes wrong, that's when you'll discover who your actual true friends are. Trouble actually is what defines a true friend from an acquaintance. Let your job hit a rough patch or your family get in problems or you get sick or get injured. The people that are still there for you and still there with you are true friends. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
It's like Bill Withers sang so accurately in the 70s. We all need somebody to lean on. And if you were there in the 70s, that song is as fresh as it was when it was first sung. You just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to what?
Lean on.
I like to say it this way. A real friend walks in when the rest of the world walks out. Now, I pray that you and I would experience true friendship, not only on the receiving end. I pray that you're surrounded by true friends that are really there for you. But I pray also that you and I would be true friends. Kind of a person who recognizes when their friend is in trouble and is still there for them at that time. I can remember, I see my sister-in-law, Carol Avila, here on the front row, and Nicole's her daughter, and Pastor Gary is one of our pastors. And as most of you know, he's going through a pretty hard time right now. I remember a time when many, many years ago, Carol, I told the story in the first service about the lousy burritos that Gary made for me on the day that I flooded the church. And if you've heard this story, then please forgive me. But when I was 20 years old, one of my jobs at the church, I was on staff and I was a deacon, and we were just starting out, and I was starry-eyed to be, you know, a man of God and a pastor and all that. And that was a long, long time ago, even before I was married. And one of my jobs, Paul Ho, I think you were there at the time, you would remember, and thank you for never throwing it in my face, was to fill the baptistry. We had a one-inch water line that would fill this big baptismal tank where people would be. It's like a small spa, you know, swimming pool, and didn't have a shut-off valve. I was the shut-off valve. So, you know, you had to turn it on, and 45 minutes later, that thing would be filled with maybe, you know, 700, 800 gallons of water, and maybe 1,000 gallons. I don't know. It was pretty big. Maybe 10,000. I don't know. I have no idea. It seemed like a whole lot of water that next day when I forgot to turn it off on a Saturday night, and then right in the middle of our missions conference, the ushers came in to unlock the church and get things ready for Sunday morning service, and the place was flooded with water because I had been a total airhead and let the water run all night long. That was, without a doubt, the darkest, worst day of my life. I felt so stupid. I felt about this big. And it was that day that Pastor Gary and Carol invited Kathy and I over to their house. And they didn't, of course, they weren't expecting to invite us over. They just saw what a terrible day I was having, reached out to me and drew me into their home and made me really bad burritos. But you know what? I really appreciate it. No, they're the kind of burritos that Gary loves to eat. And I wasn't too hungry. I was just feeling so low. But I tell you, it was kind of like... It was kind of like that shortstop putting his arm around Jackie Robinson. You know, it was just a moment where somebody was a friend to my future. Would have been easy for me to quit. Would have been easy for me to find a hole and just crawl into it somewhere. Never show my face in church again. But thank God for true friendship. I think of Proverbs 17:17. where it says a true friend loves regardless of the situation. And how many of you know there are some situations in life, right? But a true friend loves regardless of the situation. You say, well, I wasn't expecting this when I got married. Well, I wasn't expecting this when I became your friend. Well, I wasn't expecting this when I joined a church. Well, you know, welcome to a little place I like to call reality. Stuff happens. And you weren't expecting it to happen, but a true friend is there no matter what happens, no matter what the situation. And it goes on and says, the rest of the verse is, and a real brother exists to share the tough times. Isn't that a great picture of friendship? How can you be a friend to somebody's future when they're really down? How do you do that? Sometimes we struggle to maybe say the right words. We think that it's our words, you know, that we got to say some brilliant spiritual truth to somebody who's suffering. We got to give them a key that just, you know, prophetically unlocks the whole thing and helps them understand. Oh, now I get it. Now I understand why I've lost my wife and, you know, I lost our home. And oh, that one sentence that you said to me, now everything is fine. You know what? Words aren't really going to always do the trick. Sometimes it's just putting your arm around somebody and being there for them. Sometimes it's just not walking out. Let's not feel the pressure to always preach to each other. Not that preaching is wrong. I do it a lot. But sometimes, I like to say it this way, it's not our words, right? But our willingness to share the pain that makes us a true friend. Just not to be missing from a person's life. To stay in touch. To stay connected. To text, to write, to pick up a phone, to say a prayer. But it's our willingness to share the pain that makes us true friends. Friends lift us when we're down. But friends also warm us when we're cold. That's the second piece of this. You're reading through the words of Solomon. Maybe you saw it. He said, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But it's hard to be warm when you're alone. Now, we live in a funny culture today, a culture where a lot of people are opting to be alone. You know, they have Facebook and they have their online life and they have their work friends and all that. But when it comes really down to letting somebody get close to them, a lot of people are just torpedoing friendships. They're opting, no, I don't want to be married. I won't be engaged. I'm not going to let anybody in my life because that's where I get hurt. That's where I got disappointed. I'm not going to be a part of a church. I'm not going to be a part of a family because that's a place of pain for me. But I want to just challenge you, just lovingly and gently, because there are cold times in life. And when the sun is shining, you may be maybe it makes sense for you to say, well, I don't need to really have too many friends. I don't really need family. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to find out you need friends and family when the winter rolls in. How many of you have ever been in a cold time? A cold time financially? A cold time in your career? Maybe a winter in your health? You know, life has seasons. And sickness can come, and financial hardship can come, and it gets mighty cold. And that's the time where you think, man, I wish I would have allowed somebody to be close to me so that I could be warm. I wish I wouldn't have been so off-putting with people. Because now I find myself alone and looking for something to fill this void in my life. I guess you can tell I like movies. I'm going to mention Castaway, which is now about, I don't know, 15 or 18 years old, but I'm just going to admit it. I like to watch movies, so I'm not ashamed of that. And that's one of the great movies ever made, I think, Castaway. And you know, Tom Hanks, I think the story is he was a FedEx employee and his plane crashed and he found himself on this remote island and he's all alone, you know, and days are passing and weeks are passing and he needs somebody to talk to. So he finds this volleyball, right? He's kind of losing it, you know. You get weird when you're alone, by the way. Some of you need to be around some people. And he starts, he makes a friend out of this volleyball and he names him what? Wilson. And so, you know, of course, and this to me is, you know, I watch that movie every once in a while. It's just like, to me, it's like I think the reason it's a winner is because it's like an analogy of life today. I think in a way, all of us are marooned in one way or another. I think in a way, all of us have that feeling of just being alone and we're reaching for something to fill the void. Maybe it's not a volleyball, maybe it's a job. I was talking to somebody recently and they said they worked 80 hours a week so they could just avoid being a part of their marriage. Marriage wasn't going well. We can turn to alcohol to fill the void in our life, maybe something just to keep us warm, but alcohol won't do it any more than a volleyball will do it. And a career is a great thing, but that won't fill up that place in our life that needs to be filled. A job isn't gonna, you know, don't reach for a cheap Wilson, you know, and look to your career to fill that up. And you, what you actually need is a flesh and blood person. Amen. To love you. God with skin on, somebody said. That's what a friend is. Somebody that's there to warm you in the cold times. True warmth doesn't come from a volleyball named Wilson or from a job or from anything else. True warmth comes from people. Amen. I mentioned to you a few weeks ago where Kathy and I are so proud that Jordan and April gave birth to a beautiful little girl named Chloe, and there she is. I thought, you know, if you're not Facebook friends with me, I got to push this in your face today and show you Chloe. I mean, and then that pose, you can see little Chloe. She's saying, what'd you say, Poppy? Preach it. Preach it, Poppy. But, you know, she was born premature, and she only weighed 5 pounds. And, one of the most important things to a little baby like that, any little baby or a premature baby especially, is warmth. And there's nothing like wrapping that baby up in a blanket and just having mommy or daddy hold her close. Do you know that babies will die without warmth and love? And people die for a lack of warmth and a lack of love. And I see them all the time. I see them walking, going through their job, walking down at the mall, whatever they're doing, walking down the street, and they're just as cold. They're just as empty as a person can be. And I think, what does a person need? A person needs friendship, because friends warm us when we're cold. I love that story of after the awful death of Jesus. And they watched him crucified and beaten and died there, and their dreams were crushed. And these two disciples, followers of Jesus, who thought he was going to change the world, now they're at their lowest point, and they're walking down the road to Emmaus there in Israel. And all of a sudden, they encounter a risen Christ on the road to Emmaus, but they didn't recognize him. They didn't actually know that it had been Christ until he had vanished from them. But that was when they put the pieces together. And I love that scripture there in Luke 24 that describes this scene. Just a snippet from that scene where they're putting two and two together after Christ has left them. And they say, weren't our hearts glowing? Weren't our hearts burning within us while he was on the road, while he was with us? Everybody say, he is with me. I want to tell you that no matter what road you're walking on, no matter how discouraged you are, there is an invisible somebody with you. You may not understand his presence. Sometimes it may appear just the form of a friend, somebody who loves you. But it's really Christ himself reaching out, warming you, touching your heart, filling you with love, and opening up the scripture to you. I know people criticize churches, and they say, well, you know, we don't need to be a part of a church, you know. After all, you know, church is full of hypocrites. Sometimes I just say, hey, come on, anyway, there's room for one more, you know, no problem. Well, there's too many broken people in churches. They'll just let you down, this and that. But the truth is, I think this scene is one of the most poignant pictures of what real church is. Real church is people walking together down a discouraging road and somehow Jesus showing up in the midst of that. Real church is about warmth that comes through fellowship when our hearts begin to burn because we're together and the Spirit of God is touching us and we're feeling something that's real. I met somebody recently who said that they lived their whole life without God. They didn't care really much about God at all until they were in a church, and somebody kept inviting them to church, and they were in church, and then suddenly he said, my heart, I started to feel God right here burning in my heart. And he said, you can't tell me that God isn't real. He's not a theologian. He's not a holy Joe. He's just a guy that came to church, and he felt his heart burning on the inside of him. That's the Spirit of God. That's Jesus showing up in our pain, using people around us, people that are weird, people that are different than us, people that invite us to come to church, right? And the Lord is using that person to lasso us and get our attention. Churches aren't perfect. No such thing as a perfect place, and certainly churches are not perfect, but churches are supposed to be places of warmth and friendship and revelation. I like to say it this way. It's like the coals of a fire. You know, you separate a coal out from the fire and it starts to grow cold. But you keep those coals huddled together in community and connecting together, and it's like the fire just keeps burning. And I would say, like coals gather together, people thrive in authentic community, a true Christ community where Jesus is present, hearts are glowing, scripture is meaning, and people are helping each other down roads of discouragement. Friends warm each other when it's cold. And third, friends protect one another in times of danger. Solomon said, and he's describing ancient warfare, he said, a person standing alone can be attacked and what? Defeated. Wow. You know, if you're alone in life, you're probably going to be defeated. But if two stand back to back, they can conquer. Pastor John, jump up here. I want us to show the audience what it means to be back to back. How many have heard that phrase, I got your back? Wave at me if you hear that. In ancient warfare times, you know, they didn't have tanks, and they didn't have, you know, most battles were fought hand to hand. It was real warfare. So when soldiers would be sent out in order to protect each other, they would fight back to back. So I've got my sword and he's got his sword. And we are, and it doesn't matter which way we turn, right? This is not kinky. Don't laugh. This is not. This is masculine. This is warfare stuff. This is a. When you say I've got your back, that means no matter which direction the struggle comes from, no matter which direction the enemy comes from, I'm never gonna have my back uncovered because I've got a friend. Amen. And he's kind of a ham, too. And I love that about John. Yeah, give him a hand. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but people that are standing back to back, they can't be conquered. And I think life is full of so many battles. And I would to God that I could just make the battles go away. I can't. But what I can do for my friends is I can guard their back. And I can fight to the last drop and work as best I can to make sure that my friend doesn't get destroyed in the battle. I'll say it this way. True friends guard your back. But let's remember, they never stab it. Since we're talking about 70s music, I think it was Bill Withers who sang it so well. Backstabbers, remember? Smile in your face all the time. They want to take your place. The backstabbers. Backstabbers. See, you really love me, don't you? I can't believe it. You must be my friends. You know, I'm concerned when people say things about people they're supposed to be loving behind their back. Gossip is saying something, whether it's true or made up, that's unkind about another person when they're not present. Now, that doesn't mean, now, having somebody's back, it means we won't backstab, but it doesn't mean that we won't ever say something that stings. Because a true friend is willing to say the hard things to someone's face. That's the difference. They've got to be present, and the difference is it's got to be spoken out of love and not out of contempt. If you say something to my face, if you say, listen, you're about to step off a cliff here, you're heading for a moral problem, you're heading for a spiritual problem, you're heading for a financial problem, I want you to tell me that, right? Because that's true friendship. We don't need secret admirers, we need open correction if that's what's needed for the moment. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. In other words, a friend is somebody who can tell you got broccoli in your teeth, right? But you know they care, and they don't make you feel like an idiot because you got broccoli in your teeth. They just help you get the broccoli out. That's real friendship, and it seems like the way friendships are going nowadays, it's all about don't hurt my feelings and don't say anything I don't want to hear and I don't, you know, all of that. But let me tell you something, real love confronts in love. Example, God loves me and he confronts me all the time. God loves you and he will confront you. He will warn you. He will challenge you if you begin to do things that you shouldn't do. That's what real love is all about. Amen. I'm talking about a friend to your future. Somebody who cares about where your life is headed. Friends protect us from dangers in life. Some of you are here today. I mean, you never thought you'd be in a church today, but you're here today. And it's probably because some annoying person kept after you and kept saying to you, come on, you need to go to church. Come on, you need to go to church. And they were weird and they were annoying, but there was something about it. And you came along and now you're experiencing God's goodness and God's forgiveness. I think, isn't it great when you really stop and think, isn't it great to have someone who's a friend to the spiritual side of your life? Even though sometimes somebody may annoy you or a pastor or a strong spiritual leader may kind of get in your face and say to you, listen, hey, could I, as somebody who loves you, could I just offer this to you? And you go, oh, amen, don't. But as someone who cares about you, could I just give you this challenge? Or could I just coach you in this way? Or could I just talk to you about that? Some of those moments are awkward and we don't want them. But the truth is we all need friends to the spiritual side of our life to help us with the spiritual broccoli that's in our teeth. How many understand what's going on? Be a friend to our future. Thank you for being my friend. That's a great thing to say to somebody. Thank you for being my friend. That's important. True friends can help you find a future that is filled with new success. Whatever your failures have been in life, how many of you would like to find a future that's filled with new success? Friends will help you do that. I heard about a graduation speech where the commencement speaker put on his glasses and he was talking about the promise of the future and how bright the future was for all the graduates. He said, your future is so bright that I got to put on sunglasses just to look at you. And I remember that and I thought, that's pretty much what a friend will do. A friend will say, man, I believe in your future. I believe things are going to get better. It's so bright. What I see for you, don't give up. God sees a bright future for you. Hallelujah. And your true friends see a bright future for you. And I see a bright future for you. So don't give up in the worst of times. Amen. And let's commit ourselves to be that kind of friend to one another. I'm going to close with this. The worship team is coming and we're going to have just a time of music and fun here. But I just close with this. When Pee Wee Reese stood next to a humiliated Jackie Robinson, that was quite a moment, put his arm around him, stood down the jeering and the hostility of the crowd, he saved his future. That's what I'm talking about, a friend to your future. A true friend lifts you when you're down, warms you when you're cold, and protects you in times of danger. Just like Henry Ford said, a true friend is somebody who brings out the best in me. Those are the kind of friends I think we should be. But you might be here and you're saying, man, I'd like to have a friend like that. I wish I had one friend like that. But I just want to remind you and encourage you with this thought. There has been somebody who has stood next to you your whole life. Maybe you didn't know it. Maybe you didn't understand just how much this friend loves you. But Jesus Christ is the greatest friend that you could ever have in your life. Because the Bible says when you were yet a sinner, he died for you. Before you wanted him, he was already standing up for you. And the greatest problem you've ever had is the sin problem, the separation from God problem. And Christ has redeemed that. And if you receive him by faith, if you will open your heart to Christ, you will experience a brand new success and a brand new life. He's the greatest friend you could ever have. He's the one that said, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his what? Friends. I leave you with this challenge. Open your heart to Christ. And no matter what your past has been, no matter what you've believed or what you've been taught or what you've discovered in life, Jesus Christ will be the ultimate friend to your future if you will open your heart to him. Would you just bow your heads? I want to pray for you. In a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to repeat a prayer with me. We're going to have some fun. We're going to sing a song and probably hang out and have some donuts in a little bit, but this is a moment where I could just ask you, if it was just you and Christ alone, that you could just open the door of your heart to him. Father, I pray for people in this room that may be facing cold times, maybe spiritual coldness. Maybe it's been a long time since there's been a fire in their spirit about faith and about trust and about hope. Lord, I'm asking that a new fire would burn and a new glow would be released. And Jesus, I pray for people that are in trouble and in difficulty and in sin, that you would wash their sins and forgive them and give them a brand new life today. Lord, I pray that they would come into friendship with you and new friends that will guide them and help them into their future. I thank you for doing this, Lord, because it's so important and you love us so much, and I believe that you will do this. Now I'm going to ask you, if you would, just to stand to your feet. And there's a prayer that we're going to put up on the screen. Right now, men and women are coming to the front, and probably in about 3 minutes, the service is going to be over. At that time, these men and women that are here are available to talk to you and help you and just be a friend. If you have a spiritual need today, if you need the assurance of salvation, you want to get something fixed in your life and you need a prayer partner, that's what these men and women are all about. Nobody will embarrass you. Be happy to pray for you. But just where you're standing, without going through much drama, your life could change just with a simple prayer. Just inviting Christ into your heart. I want to challenge you to do that. And we're all going to say a prayer together. This is a prayer that changed my life. Can we say it together? Let's lift our voices up together and read it out loud. Father God, thank you for your faithful love. Through the cold and lonely times, you've stood close to me. Please forgive my failures, save me, and guide me to true success. I accept Jesus as my friend and Savior today, and I gladly welcome the new life he offers me in Christ's name. Amen. If you meant it, give the Lord a hand clap today.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.